Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning, a great good day to you. It's going to be a little wet today. I was going to say it's a gorgeous day to get out and play a round of golf, and of course it is. We've got a little bit of sun and blue sky on the Leeward Coast. So if you're coming over to, let's say, Ko'olina, that may be a place to play. Kapolei is completely sold out. On the Windward side, they're playing. Raw Hawaiian Country Club has a 10-20. Olomana has a 10-23. And in fact, between 10:23 and 12 o'clock, it's wide open. So lots going on. And the PGA Challengers, they're going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And speaking of PGA Challengers, the PGA of America putting on the Ryder Cup, the 41st edition of the Ryder Cup. And it's played on U.S. soil this year. Hazeltine is the course. Absolutely spectacular to watch on television. Interesting. Certainly, we're going to talk with a number of people about just what's happening at Hazeltine, the crowd reaction, some of the things going on the course, of course, the play, how the course is impacting the play. But more than that, I think how the spectators are impacting how this whole Ryder Cup is feeling this year. And Ben Wright, former CBS broadcaster, analyst, commentator, golf course architect, is going to be our first guest. And he's been to many a Ryder Cup. He's experienced some of the most amazing moments in golf, and we'll be talking with him. And of course, this is the day that we're remembering all week long. On Saturday, I did my show, and Sunday was at the beach, and I got a text on my way home. And did you hear that Arnold Palmer died? Is that true? Is that a hoax? It, of course, is very, very true. And it took me by surprise, even though we all knew Arnold Palmer wasn't doing well. His legs weren't working, but he was upbeat. He was going into surgery scheduled for Tuesday, and then he passed on Sunday. Mourning, the entire golf industry, everyone in the golf world, everyone on the planet, we all knew Arnold Palmer. He was my hero at the age of 9. My father watched golf on television, black and white, fuzzy screens, but we were always watching golf, and Arnold Palmer was the man, and he always was the man, and I had to sit down and I had to write, and all I could think of was, as I closed, Arnold Palmer, if you wrote to him, he wrote you back. When I asked him to be on my show, he was a guest on my show, and I was such a giddy fan, and all I could do was say, thank you so much for everything you've done in golf. And I sound like I can't even play it for you because, I mean, it was just one of those moments of being absolutely starstruck. I've met Arnold Palmer, and anybody who's met Arnold Palmer wants to tell you about the moment because he is the gracious man that everybody says he was. He took time. He spent time. He spent hours signing autographs. I have a photo of him from Ka'anapali during a skins game, EMS skins game over at Ka'anapali. He's sitting at a table, and I took a photo of him. He's signing autographs for Tom Watson, who brought a bunch of flags, tee flags, for Arnold Palmer to sign for him, for his friends, for Tom Watson's friends. So I just wanted to thank Mr. Palmer for everything you taught us. That firm handshake, the look, you know, you make the person feel like you'll stay with them and be with them completely. It's very, very difficult. He always taught players, if you're going to sign an autograph, make it legible because your fans deserve that. So thank you for everything. Thank you for never letting us down. And we're going to thank the people who make the show possible and bring Ben Wright to you right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Hoi Pu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes. Hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Hoi Pu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, and Aim Point certified Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing. Because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
And welcome to the show, Ben Wright, a longtime CBS commentator, author of, I've got it right in front of me, Good Bounces and Bad Lies. Ben Wright, welcome to the show.
Welcome back to you, too. And Danielle, it couldn't be much more exciting, this Ryder Cup. I'm absolutely glued to my seat, as I'm sure there are a few more million people, and not to speak of 50 to 60,000 people being on the grounds. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible. I was watching for as much of the day as I could yesterday in between, the regular job that so many of us have. We have to work. We can't necessarily watch television all day. But it was, it's amazing. What stunned me, though, Ben Wright, was yes. The animosity of the crowd. It was almost embarrassing the way the European contingent, the Euros, were greeted by the U.S. fans. Were you taken aback?
Yeah, but it happens on the other side of the pond as well. I don't like to apportion blame. There are idiots in every crowd everywhere. I mean, when I was with CBS for 27 years, you're the man, get in the hole. They were saying get in the hole when the guy was hitting a drive and a hole nearly 600 yards long. You've got the idiot fringe on each side of the Atlantic, and the Euros are just as bad when we host it. I mean, they really are. They're not that great either. It's alcohol fueled. We all know that.
Well, I figured they opened the bar at 5 a.m. yesterday because they were all very toasted and having a very wonderful time, egging on everybody and cheering for the U.S. team as well they should. We're at Hazeltine, an amazing golf course. First time it is hosting a Ryder Cup. It's hosted many fabulous tournaments. But, of course, the Ryder Cup is the plum, wouldn't you say? And this is a gorgeous course. How do you think it sets up for this event?
I think it's perfect for the event. It's very punitive, but it also gives you every opportunity to make birdies. And, I think that's what you need. It can really punish you because there's a lot of water and a lot of trees. But I think it's a perfect venue. And, of course, it can accommodate these enormous crowds, which is terrific.
What, 60 to 80,000 people expected, probably closer to 80,000 for singles matches. That'll be tomorrow. This afternoon, they just posted the PM matches. It'll be Koepka and DJ versus McIlroy and Peters, Holmes and Moore versus Willett and Westwood, Phil and Kuchar versus Kamer and Garcia, Reed and Spieth versus Rose and Stenson. Can we look a little bit of, I was interested watching the Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler pairings, because of those two, they've been the most erratic. Phil is all over the place, and Ricky hasn't been consistent on the greens. What do you think the thinking was of Davis Love to put those two together?
Well, I don't know. As a matter of fact, it's a good question. I don't think it's a match made in heaven. I really don't. I'm not going to second guess Davis. He's lost the match once in terrible circumstances, and he's trying to get redemption, poor devil. And what I worry about, Danielle, is if America loses tomorrow, where do they go from there? They had a task force to stop the rot. And if they don't stop the rot, you know, it's going to be very embarrassing. Of course, you know that I suffered biennial embarrassment for, God knows how long, from 53 to 85, actually. You know, I attended the matches from 53 to 95, but from 53 to 85, it was largely embarrassing. It was only when Tony Jacklin got control of everything that it was so great.
Well, and we need to talk a little bit about the history, the what you've witnessed, which is exactly why I think it's so wonderful to be able to talk with you this morning. This is Ben Wright, former CBS broadcaster, golf commentator, analyst, legendary broadcaster. Ben Wright's witnessed the changing of the way the Ryder Cup's been played. Before we get to that, though, Ben, are you listening with the sound on or off?
Off.
Off.
At the moment, I mean, only because I'm talking to you, Danielle.
Okay, wait a minute, but, you know, don't you often, I was reading your book, Good Bounces and Bad Lies, Ben Wright, and sometimes the television commentating, you say, irritates you, and you'd prefer watching without the sound on.
Oh, very, very much so. I get irritated by that, by their constant babble, but I also get irritated by the endless, mindless commercials. You know, there are very few that are even worth watching. I like a bit of humor. And, of course, if you have dogs on the commercials, that's always a winner with me being a dog lover.
Yeah.
But, no, I do spend a lot of my time watching in silence, and it's very gratifying because you can tell exactly what's going on if you follow it carefully.
What I wanted to do was, I was thinking, gosh, if we could all be watching television while we're talking, Ben, I'd have you do commentator right now. We'd have Ben Wright commentating for us while we all watch a Ryder Cup. Just a spoiler alert, right now it's 6-5. 6-5.
Yes. And you know, the Spaniards have come down to the final hole, all square, against Spieth and Reed.
And they were three down just a few minutes ago.
Yes, exactly. And they've just, Cabrera Bayo made a putt from just off the green at 17 for birdie two. And they're all square, and Cabrera Bayo has hit a very good tee shot, and now it's in the hands of young Spieth to do the same. The last hole is not a difficult hole either. There are bunkers left and right, but it's less than 450, which is nothing to these boys anymore.
Isn't that scary? Do you see the Sergio Garcia, Rafa Cabrera Bayo pairing as a kind of the Spaniards of yesterday, the Jose Maria Olazabal and Seve Ballesteros? Do you see these two guys coming to that place in the?
Yes, I do, Danielle, and you make a very good point. And you know, if they survive this foursome, having been five down, they're going to be heroes in the Ballesteros Olazabal mold, and it could happen. You know, Spieth has hit his drive way right of the fairway, so I would say the Spaniards are favorites to win the whole match.
And we could be 6-6. Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible because Garcia is going to play the second shot, and no one is more experienced of the big time and has got such a super record in Ryder Cup play. I mean, he's one of the best we've ever put in the field since the Europeans were recruited in 1979.
Yeah, Reed and Garcia, if they could play the way they play Ryder Cup in regular tournament play, they'd like be unbeatable. We need to take a quick break. And I've got to say that I like what Golf Channel NBC's been doing with a thing they call Playing Through, where they have the commercial playing, but a little box is showing you the action that you don't see on the course. I didn't even care that I was just watching Rory McIlroy cleaning his shoes this morning when he came out of the muck. We're going to come back with Ben Wright, former CBS broadcaster, golf commentator, analyst. He's a legend. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And back to Poipu Bay just for a second. They aerated the greens on Monday, so it's quite a while ago. They're in great shape, but they're giving you a $30 break on the rate. So today there's a 950, a 1010, there's an 840 if you're nearby. That's Poipu Bay, $30 off because they aerated on Monday. It's a beautiful golf course. We're talking with Ben Wright, former CBS broadcaster, a legend in the business, and the author of Good Bounces and Bad Lies, and also golf course architect, the Cliffs Valley. Now, you know, I was a little embarrassed, as I mentioned earlier in the show, by Friday's attitude of the fans. They were just howling and screaming, and poor Danny Willett, his brother, wrote something not nice about Americans, and he got every kind of insult thrown at him repeatedly. And not to be surprised, but Danny didn't write it. Danny said, you know, I like Americans. You embraced me when I won the Masters. I like living in the United States. I don't feel this way. Whatever the case, he just got lambasted. So I'm reading just a brush up on Good Bounces and Bad Lies by Ben Wright, and his autobiography. And he witnessed the concession at Royal Birkdale in 1969. So I'm reading about this, the concession. Americans Dave Hill and Ken Still versus Brian Huggett and Bernard Gallagher almost came to blows, shouting insults, shaking fists at each other. I was thinking, well, at least they didn't take the hostility, you know, this time onto the golf course. That must have been something to witness.
No, that was the low point of my whole Ryder Cup life. It was absolutely disgraceful, and actually the Americans started it, in all fairness, but the Brits were stupid to get involved. And, you know, they had to go and fetch the Earl of Derby, or Derby as you probably call them, and the American captain to get these people to behave themselves like human beings and not crazed animals. It was absolutely the low spot of this whole fixture, and was a shameful incident. But thank the good Lord, Jack Nicklaus made the greatest sporting gesture I have ever seen in my life at any sport by conceding a putt that was the best part of 3 feet to Tony Jacklin on the final green to ensure a tie at 18-all. And Danielle, you know something? I traveled with Tony all over the place, including to watch him win the U.S. Open of 1970 at Hazeltine. And I know as well as Tony knows, he's still a close friend of mine, and we all know that he had a frailty over short putts. And as Nicklaus so brilliantly said, I don't think you would have missed the putt, but I didn't want to give you the chance to do so. And I, you know, that is absolutely the greatest gesture. I mean, the way he picked the ball, they picked the marker up.
Yes.
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 And conceded the putt, which was, you know, it was wonderful. That it was a tie, but you know, we had to suffer many more indignities after that,
and many
more.
Of course, and the Ryder Cup, of course, ending with that 16-16 tie. But America had the cup, so retaining the cup, so there was no loss. America still came out as the winner, the victor. That's why it was such amazing, because I like he said, and you write in your book, he said, I am sure you would have made your putt, but I was not prepared to see you miss. And it's
That's exactly right. Wow. It just
gave me chicken skin or goosebumps. We call it chicken skin in Hawaii. I don't know why. Let me go from Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus. Arnold Palmer is always given credit as restoring the significance of the Open, because he was one of the first Americans to go to the Open, right?
Correct.
And yet Jack Nicklaus was huge, because he's the one who got the Euros, the European, continental European, onto the Ryder Cup team, so that it was more a level playing field, the U.S. versus all of Europe.
Yes. You know, it's so true. He wrote a letter to the Earl of Derby, who was president of the British PGA, and he said after our debacle in 1977 at Royal Lytham, you really need to enlist the Europeans, because this is becoming a bit of a joke, this fixture, and there's no interest in it in America, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the terrible tragedy was that my commentating colleague, John Jacobs, was captain of the new European team in 1979 at the Greenbrier Hotel, and in 1981 at Walton Heath, England. And quite frankly, the Euros were made to look ordinary on both occasions. And I think in 1981, the Americans, in retrospect, had the strongest team they ever put in the field. I think there was only one of the members of the team, Bruce Litsky, who hadn't won a major championship, and he was in the top rank anyhow. But, you know, it has come good, and And Nicholas must take the credit for that. There's no question about it. And now it has become, as you so rightly said, the greatest golfing event in the world.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, and I love how you wrote, the finest moment of Tony Jacklin's dreams became reality with the Europeans' victory at the Belfry in Sutton Coldfield, England in 1985. After 27 years of futility, the Ryder Cup was finally out of the hands of the Americans. And now, after losing three times, and they meet every 2 years in case, you know, this is unusual for you, this Ryder Cup thing, they meet every 2 years. We haven't had it for over 10 years, or just about. So what you were saying at the beginning of the show, Ben Wright, it is time for the U.S. to win so that there is a competition and not another one of those foregone conclusions. Oh, we're going to have the Ryder Cup, and here comes the other team, and they're gonna smash us. You know, I want to ask you, though, with Arnold Palmer's passing, and I wanted to talk to you about, what would you say in eulogy about Arnold Palmer?
Just the greatest sportsman I ever met. That man never turned down either an adult or a child for an autograph. And Doc Giffen, his advisor and friend, told me last week, earlier this week, after Arnold had passed, that he had signed over 2 million autographs in his time. But he was always just the perfect gentleman. I remember the first time I met him was at the Open of 1960, the Centenary Open. Incidentally, the Spaniards halved with Spieth and Reed, which is a hell of a thing for Europe, my word. But anyhow, I was invited to dinner with Mr. Palmer and his wife Winnie, his first wife who died of cancer so tragically, and I was with Pat Moore Thomas, who was a golf writer from the Guardian newspaper in London. And I apologized during the meal at Rusek's Hotel in St. Andrews. I apologized for the quality of British food. And Arnold lit into me, and we had only just met for the first time. And he said to me, "How dare you apologize for British food after all the British people have gone through in the Second World War? You know, you haven't had time to get back on your feet again, and don't ever let me hear you apologize for anything British." And I thought, my goodness, you know, this is a very different man.
Yes, he was a very different man. And Ben Wright, so are you. I'm looking forward to talking to you again. We're going to make this a regular thing. Right, Ben?
Oh, love it. Love it, Daniel.
Good. And thank you. We're going into the second half of Saturday play, and there's a fighting chance. It was nothing for nothing. We shut them out. The Americans shut out the Euros on Friday morning, and it was looking kind of spooky. And now we're going to Saturday afternoon, 6.5. 5.5, and Ben Wright, former CBS broadcaster, golf commentator, analyst, and author. His book is Good Bounces, Bad Lies, and he's a golf course architect. It's very, very interesting, and there's so much of Ben Wright's humor in it. You'll really enjoy this book. Thanks, Ben. Talk to you soon.
You're very welcome, Daniel, and thank you again. It's lovely to talk to someone who's prepared to listen to me.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk with somebody who's in the business as well. Longtime Golf Channel television producer and live director right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
It's Ryder Cup, and it only happens every 2 years. And when it happens, it pits the U.S. versus the Euros. And boy, it's contentious in the stands. Fortunately, the guys are, you know, they play with each other, against each other every week. This time, of course, it's for country. It's for the cup. It's for, and it's difficult to say, you know, the country since, but it's for Europe. Or it's for the U.S., and that's the bottom line. And author Keith Hirschland, former golf tournament TV director and producer, 19 years, I think it was, with Golf Channel, started with ESPN, but he grew up in his father's television station, so TV was part of his blood. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Hi, Danielle. How are you? Thanks for thanks for having me back. I'm thrilled, and it's always an honor to be on the same show with Ben, with whom I've worked and for whom I have great affection, and of course Ron Sarek, who's one of the best ever, and Rhonda. So thank you for including me in this very esteemed group of people.
Absolutely. Keith, I got to ask you, now we're all sitting here taking it for granted. We watch this fabulous production on television and all these, you know, giving us all these different camera shots. What's it like being in the trailer?
It's always exciting and amazing and difficult and challenging any golf tournament, because as you and I have talked before, golf is, you know, golf may be the hardest sport of all to produce, to put on television, just because there are so many moving parts. But when you get to something that's so emotional and so important and so impactful and so exciting as a Ryder Cup, full disclosure, never had the opportunity to produce a Ryder Cup, but I produced a number of Solheim Cups and other team events, and it's just, you get the adrenaline that goes through you is something that, you know, few people get to experience, and it's a thrilling proposition. And of course, like any other golf tournament, but this one maybe more than others, you know, you just, you know, you rely on your team. And Tommy at NBC has an unbelievably great team of technicians and production people and staff and announcers. And, you know, they do a terrific job.
They do. I love this playing through thing that they've got going with the commercials running, but in the little box on the side, you can still see what you maybe could see if the TV was still showing the action. I think that's a very cool idea.
It's a great idea, and it's one of those. It's a bit slow coming to golf. You know, auto racing has been doing it for a few years, and I think it just makes perfect sense, especially for a sport that doesn't have any natural stops in the action. You know, you go away to commercial because you have to, but they don't stop. You know, the play on the field. So, like baseball, like football, like basketball, like most other stick and ball sports. So, golf is the perfect opportunity, especially in a stroke play event. You know, one of the tough things about it, and the only minor, tiny little thing that I've noticed is that match play and team competition context is so important. You know, what this shot means, where the opponent, you know, in what position is the opponent on the green or in the fairway or off the tee. You know, you have to constantly provide, the announcers have to constantly provide the viewer with context as to what every shot means, and you lose a little bit of that in playing through because you can't, you know, you're watching the action, but you're not listening to somebody tell you why it's important or how important it is. But that's a infinitesimal observation, not even a criticism. I think it's terrific. I think they should do it on every single golf tournament.
I do too. And Ben Wright was talking about, you know, he's a commentator. So when he's watching, you know, he has his Chirkanian was the man he was underneath, the legendary television producer who said, you know, these are pictures. You don't need words. Fewer words, better. Let the picture. But there are words right. That are necessary, you know. So when Ben's watching, he's like, God, these guys are driving me nuts. They're talking too much. So, right? And he says he often turns the sound down. But for the Ryder Cup, you can't. Because I've got it on now, but I'm like, okay, so I see that's Europe, but what position are they in? And who's playing what ball? And for what is in it? So exactly what you just said, I don't have any context. It means nothing to me right now.
That's exactly right. So when I was producing, I always made it a point. And then the stroke play event, you can just say, we're going to 15, Rory McIlroy's second shot. That's all the information that the announcers need. In a match play event or a team event, I kind of made sure I always said, going to 14, McIlroy's second shot. USA is also in the fairway with a second shot. You know, you have to have some other piece of information because it is a head-to-head competition in each of these matches in each of these sessions, so you have to know where, you know, the viewer needs to know what is going on with not only the person playing the shot but the opponent and where they stand, if they also have a birdie putt or if they're in trouble or if they've hit one in the water. So that kind of context is really crucial in match play.
So I'm watching, of course, an inordinate amount of Golf Channel because of, you know, what I do on Saturday. And I get up very early in the morning and I catch. And so it's live from, and this is what Golf Channel does. If you haven't seen, they do live from for days. They're talking for days, right? And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness. And then, of course, Arnold Palmer died on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that added a layer of talk that I thought, these guys are going to be fried by the time the weekend comes. It's truly amazing what they're pulling off. And I just bring this up because I really wanted to ask you about your experience. I mean, Arnold Palmer is the man who actually he made Golf Channel. He gave it credibility. Mm-hmm. I think someone said that he went home and asked Mom, I've been offered this job at Golf Channel, and she asked him something, and he said, well, Arnold Palmer is behind it. And as soon as he said that, she said, well, if Arnold Palmer's behind it, of course you're going to take the job.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And first off, I have to say that, you know, that was obviously an incredibly sad day. And I had the pleasure on numerous occasions to be around the great Mr. Palmer, and it was always a joy and an incredible experience. But, you know, I was with Golf Channel. They hired me in October of 1994. We launched in January of 1995. I was there for a little more than 18 years. And I have to say that what those guys did, led by Rich Lerner and that incredible production team, what those guys did on Sunday night all the way in through Monday, I'm not sure I've ever been more proud to have ever been associated with an organization as I was watching those guys do what they did in tribute to Mr. Palmer. I mean, it was incredible. It was so moving. The interviews were you know, just it was the whole day was emotional, but entertaining and informative, and they did a great job. And you're right. I mean, the Golf Channel, you know, Joe Gibbs had the idea. Joe Gibbs had the vision. But in 1994 into 1995, at that point in time, there never, ever, ever would have been a Golf Channel had it not been for Arnold Palmer.
And just to give you some background, Keith Hirschland, author, and his book is really cool. It's called Big Flies. His first book, and he was on for Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In. That was kind of like an autobiography of his experiences in television and putting it all together. This one is not real. This is really good. Big Flies. What he was talking about Rich Lerner and Golf Channel, they were on the air for 48 hours, nonstop, no commercial break, nothing. They took everybody, Annika Sorenstam, everyone who wanted to make a comment, call in about their grief, their memory, their experience with Arnold Palmer. That was 48 hours of nonstop broadcast on Golf Channel. And that's when I started thinking, and then there's Ryder Cup. And these guys, yeah, and it's like, wow, that was truly amazing. And there is something about Rich Lerner. I've never had the pleasure of talking with him on the show, but he can be put into any situation, and he just handles it with aplomb, with an elegance and a dignity, and such a gentleman. He's really something to watch. And then when I see, like, two guys going at it, Brandel Chamblee and all of a sudden I was
David Duval.
No, but his contretemps is what's his name?
Frank Navolo.
Yes, Frank Navolo. When those guys go at over some swing, right? Some comment about a swing, and then all of a sudden Rich steps in, you know. However he puts it, he doesn't even say I don't think. He just says something that changes everything, changes the perspective, and that's the brilliance of it. So it was.
Yeah, he really is a brilliant broadcaster, and I don't think he gets the credit. I mean, he gets a lot of credit, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves in terms of just what you described. His ability, he is so versatile, and he's so knowledgeable. But he's got that. He doesn't come across as condescending or I know more than you. You invite him into your living room, and he's a long lost friend. And I always enjoyed my time working with Rich. And I think this period of time that you just described, that 48 hours, showed him in the kind of light that he deserves to be shown in, because he's just. That was just, nobody could have done a better job than Rich did during that time.
Yep, totally, totally. Let me ask you a question. Let's go to Ryder Cup, okay? Ryder Cup, it's 6.5, 5.5. Who would have thunk it when it was 4-0 on Friday morning? It was mind-boggling. I thought, my goodness, we're not going to have an event at all. It's going to be a wipeout. And pretty soon, you know, it'll be 16, and then they'll just walk away, and we won't even have singles matches. But I was taken aback by the amount of reaction from the U.S. fans. Is it Minnesota? Yeah. I mean, because they're...
I don't, I mean, Minnesota's a great sports town.
No, they're enthusiasm. That's what I mean. I mean, they're like sports.
We're in a weird time now, Danielle. And, you know, you and I could do another 20 days talking about divisiveness and politics and everything else. I think that people get so excited and emotional. And I think that and this is a, you know, you go back to the kind of person that Arnold Palmer was. I think there's been a gradual, and it may be ever so slight, but just a gradual degrading of gentlemanliness and valor and being kind to each other over the last, you know, half a dozen or 10 years. And, you know, I think people don't think people think it's okay to say something rude or mean to somebody. And, you know, that's a little sad. A credit to, I listened to Ben. I was listening to your show, and Ben's right. I mean, it happened the same way on the other side of the Atlantic when we go over there. But you just kind of wish it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, people blame it. They say, I'm so tired of political correctness. I'm tired of political correctness. It's like, I'm tired of being polite, so I'm going to be completely rude.
Right. How about be a gentleman? How about too bad.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, you know, everybody is just having a great time, and the players are not taking it. They seem to be taking it on the chin. They're doing well.
Right.
And watching Rory McIlroy be as animated as he is, I've never seen him like that. And Spieth is coming loose. He's just out there, and it's wonderful to watch this. If you get a chance, a lot of us are working 7 days a week, DVR it. You know, I promise not to say the score again. Just know that it's not a runaway, and there's going to be a lot of action this afternoon, and then going into tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. It is fun watching the team part about it. You know, it won't be team tomorrow. It'll be singles, but it'll be match play. So that makes it right. That it's mano a mano, and it's really exciting stuff. Keith Hirschland, let's talk about your book. My goodness,
okay.
I've taken you, all through Ryder Cup and taken advantage of your knowledge of television. Keith Hirschland, as I mentioned, he wrote this book called Big Flies, and I got it, and it's a great book.
And
it says laws are spider webs through which the big flies pass and the little ones get caught. That's not what he wrote. It's Honoré de Balzac who wrote that. But you see, it's this mystery crime solving journey that a young man takes to find out what his father may have been up to that he didn't know was going on as he was a child. And you go back and forth in time. And I was looking at this interesting review, Keith, and the writer writes, Big Flies by Keith Hirschland is a well-crafted, clever examination of one man's past. It's so well written, that one sentence, really, right? And then he goes, I initially struggled with the format. And I went, oh, not just me? Because in the beginning, this reviewer who loves the book went back and said, I admit that at about chapter 3, not realizing the technique that was being used by Keith Hirschland, I started the novel again. Because I didn't realize either that those days and these days, right? So we're going back in time when the man is young, and then we're going into the current time when he's seeking answers to the questions to examine just what was his dad up to. And I mean, when you put this all together, what got you to get D.B. Cooper, the Tucker Cross, and the Chicago First National Bank, and the Mexico National Museum of Anthropology all in one book?
Well, thanks for those kind words, and you and that reviewer and my wife were like, wait a minute, what's going on? And I didn't. Why? When I started that technique, I wanted to go back and forth. It's a father. It's a story about a father and a son, and I tell the father's story in the chapters that are titled "Those Days," and the son's story in the chapters that are titled "These Days." And I didn't want to do chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So I thought that would work. But anyway, I got the idea. You know, I wrote the first book, which was a memoir. It was just, you know, I'd been working in the television industry for more than 3 decades and been a part of, you know, the beginnings of ESPN2 and the beginnings of the Golf Channel, and had a bunch of stories and you know, wanted to tell them mostly as a tribute to my parents, who were huge influences on me, and they'd passed away and buried at Makawao, by the way, both of them. And, you know, I just wanted to tell stories about my career in television because I thought I had some good ones. And that was you know, in retrospect, after writing nonfiction, then fiction, the nonfiction part was relatively easy because it was just remembering stories and telling things that has happened as they happened. And when you're writing fiction, you got to make things up, and people have to, you know, you got to be the same character, has to have the same traits and be the same person on page 50 as he is on page 150. And that was a huge challenge. But anyway, getting back to the story, I thought about what would happen if, D.B. Cooper, I grew up in Reno, and D.B. Cooper was a huge story in the early 70s in the Reno area because, you know, the plane landed in Reno without him on it.
Or the money.
He had jumped out of the plane somewhere in the Pacific Northwest with the money, and the plane landed in Reno. It was a huge story. And so I got a thought of what if the guy, and, you know, the FBI just closed the case having never solved it. So I thought, well, what if D.B. Cooper was a guy who, you know, had a family and had a life, and his life was writing travel reviews and restaurant reviews and traveling around the world and the country, but having never actually gone to any of those places, because he was actually committing crimes all over the place. He was never home, but he was also never out, you know, visiting resorts and eating at restaurants.
Right.
And the son, after the father passes away, discovers this. So I was doing it as, what if my dad, and I'm thinking, I'm the one character, what if my dad was actually D.B. Cooper? And as I started to write that story, I did some research and found out that in a space of a 15-year span, there were three other notorious major robberies, the Tucker Cross, Chicago First National Bank, and then Mexico Museum, that happened in a 15-year span. So I thought, well, heck, the same guy, that's 15 years, the same guy could have perpetrated all these crimes. What, you know, so I thought, well, that's cool.
That's cool. That's a good story. And that's what makes the book so interesting. It's called Big Flies. And you really got it. You got to pick it up, because when you get into the rhythm of it, and you don't have to read it all one time, you know, that's another part about it that's brilliant, Keith, is that you wrote it so that, you know, in our days of demands on us, you can go and go, oh, wow, yeah, all right, I'm ready for these days. And then or you can read a couple of these days, those days, and then you can stop and pick it up. So really like it. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the kind words. It's always great to be with you, Danielle.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
Thank you very much. Keith Hirschland, author and former golf tournament TV director and producer, 19 years with Golf Channel. But as he was talking about his dad was in television, and Keith grew up in a television station in Reno. The book is called Big Flies, F-L-I-E-S. Yes, Big Flies. We'll be back after this. Rhonda Fun, she's the Sony Open in Hawaii Tournament Operations Director. We're going to talk about what you can do to get behind the scenes at a PGA Tour tournament. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, and KTOH, Kalaheo. Now, let's go. You know what? It's October 1st. How could it be possible that it's October 1st? That means in 1, 2, 3. Wow. In just about 3 months, it's Sony Open in Hawaii time. Tournament Operations Manager Rhonda Fun, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Great to be here.
Oh, you've got a call for volunteers.
Yes, we do.
You need volunteers. Who are you looking for?
We're looking for volunteers that can help with our admission. We need amateur caddies, gallery control marshals, parking volunteers, pro transportation, pro ID, shot link, standard bearers, and volunteer pool volunteers. So we have quite a...
You need everybody.
Yes.
Let's talk about caddies. What are the caddies? What is a caddy expected to do? It's certainly not for the professionals.
Right. They will caddy for amateur players during the practice round on Sunday, the Sony Dream Cup Pro-Am, which is a private Sony Invitational event on Monday, the official Pro-Am on Wednesday, and there's a Sony private outing the Monday following the tournament. So they will carry the bag for an amateur for 18 holes.
And previous caddy experience is preferred but not required?
Yes.
Okay, so if you have any experience and you'd be needed on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday the 8th of January, Monday the 9th, Wednesday the 11th, and then Monday the 16th, do you have to be available for all 4 days?
No, you don't. We require a minimum of 2 full days for all of our volunteers, so at least 2 of those days would be great. And each caddy will get $80, and they'll also be fed, and they'll be provided with a shirt.
Far out. So you get money.
Yes.
This must be one of the only paying ones, right?
You're right, yes.
Okay. So caddies, if you have experience, not required, though, volunteers are needed Sunday, January 8th. January 9th is a Monday, Wednesday the 11th, and Monday the 16th. Who do they call?
They can actually register online. We have an online registration form at our SonyOpenInHawaii.com website, and then you just click on volunteers and then select the online registration form.
It's SonyOpenInHawaii.
In Hawaii, yes, okay. .com.
Okay, got it. Next, so how about something else that seems really complicated, other than being a marshal? Shot link.
Oh, okay. That's a fun one because... you know, you basically assist at stations. You're located on every hole in the fairway and at every green to track the location of you know, the player's ball using a laser sighting device. And this is really vital because all the information that is collected is used by the tour, by television, and local media. And then there's training ahead of time, and then there's also a practice day, which is during our official pro-am on Wednesday.
Wow. Now, am I moving through the course or am I stationary?
You're stationary.
Okay, now, a lot of times I can't even follow the ball with my eyes. Does this do that for me?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about actually, like, a cameraman following the ball in the sky. I just have to stand there and hold it?
Yes.
Okay, and do you train me, just in case I'm really nervous about that?
We sure do. So the Saturday before the tournament, we have our training out there on the golf course, and then we also have the hands-on training, which is Wednesday before the tournament.
And do you need a person who volunteers for ShotLink to do every day of the event?
So the tour would like for those volunteers, specifically the ShotLink volunteers, to volunteer all 4 days because they'll be volunteered in the same location. But our requirement, again, is the same. It's 2 full days minimum. But the PGA Tour would ideally like to have the same individual assigned to the same location on the golf course
that makes
for all
sense.
4 days.
And then everybody's much more comfortable. So volunteers for ShotLink are needed Thursday, January 12th through Sunday, January 15th. Rhonda Fun is the Sony Open in Hawaii Tournament Operations Manager. Do you get people coming from the mainland?
Yes, all over, actually. We find from Canada, from Australia, from Asia. We have a group of people from Alabama, and they're called the Bama Bells, and they're actually marshals out at tournament number 17. It's a fun group.
Yeah, the Bama Bells?
Yes.
That is so cute. Speaking of marshals, that's a pretty... What does a marshal do?
So they basically help... their main duty is to ensure fair play among all participants and safety of the spectators. And they enforce golf etiquette. You know, they're the ones that raise the quiet please paddles or their hands, just ensuring that people around when there's play, they're quiet. They also help enforce the mobile device policy. You know, people aren't supposed to be using their telephone near play. There are specific designated cell phone zones on the golf course that they can actually use their cell phones. But people can use their cell phones for data, you know, texting, web, things like that.
It's just,
but just not around play.
Yeah, not around play. Can I take pictures?
You know, this year is the first year the PGA Tour is allowing photos to be taken during practice rounds and practice areas only. I'm sorry, just during practice, around practice areas only, not once a player starts competing.
Right. So during competition, there's still no photos allowed. And you know, when you're watching a tournament outside the United States, and they're stop taking pictures, stop taking pictures, stop. The funny thing is the pictures you usually take with your camera are not really all that hot anyway.
Right.
But I guess, you know, I was here. I wanted everybody to know I was here. So we have standard bearers. You get to actually follow the players through the entire course. That must be fun.
Yeah, it is, actually. You're inside the rope, so you're up close and personal. And, you know, you're the one carrying the standard, which displays the players' names and their scores. And it's throughout the entire round, so it's all 18 holes. And so the standard itself is about 5 to 6 pounds. So whoever volunteers for that, you know, must be comfortable in carrying a standard for that weight for, you know, 18 holes.
I like it. In the description, standard bearers, physically demanding volunteers must be able to walk 18 holes and carry the standard at least 5 to 6 pounds for the entire round. Come to think of it, you know, carrying 5 to 6 pounds, if you've been carrying, a heavy bag for a long time, that might just be that 5 to 6 pounds. I don't know how our purses get as heavy as they do. It's truly an amazing thing.
Yeah, especially in the wind. You know, when it gets windy out there, it's a little challenging.
Oh, yes, holding it steady. Speaking of bags, what do you want us to do with our purses and the bags that we haul with us?
Okay, so we have a bag policy where no bags are allowed, basically, unless they're 6 by 6 by 6. If they're opaque, they can't be any larger than 6 by 6 by 6, or a clear bag the size of a Ziploc bag, a gallon size. Those are acceptable, permitted bags on course. Every other bag will have to be checked, basically, at the admissions area.
Either you leave it home or be prepared to give it to somebody to hold on for you at admissions. You get a little chit for it, and you go back and say, here, this is number so-and-so.
Yes.
Right. Oh, this is Rhonda Fun, Sony Open in Hawaii, Tournament Operations Manager. They're looking for volunteers. This is for Sony Open in Hawaii. Volunteers needed for the 2017 Sony Open in Hawaii. You know, this raises a whole bunch of money for Friends of Hawaii Charities, because the money we raise is matched by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. And that is huge. So we can double the money that comes in. Just need to make sure that we continue to do a great job. You're looking for, Rhonda, you're looking for admissions, and we'll call caddies, gallery control, parking. So if you just don't want to interact, you don't want to do a lot, parking would be good. Pro transportation, this is where you shuttle people, shot links, standard bearers. The volunteer pool, what does that person do?
Basically, that's for someone who would like to volunteer and experience a different, you know, different areas each day.
Okay.
So wherever there is a need, you will be sent. So say you report to your committee that morning, and then they say, oh, ShotLink has a need, or the marshals have a need, or Pro Transportation has a need, then you'll be assigned to that committee for the day.
Okay, for those people who have a short attention span and don't want to do the same thing every day, Rhonda Fun, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll do it again because, you know, we've got months to get ready. Excellent.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Rhonda Fun is Sony Open and Hawaii Tournament Operations Manager. It's the call for volunteers. We're going to come back. Ron Cyrak, ronsyrak.com, Senior Writer Golf Digest, all about the Ryder Cup and Arnold Palmer right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422. Or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Let Shannon Brady from the Irish Washerwoman take strokes off your golf game. Why spend your precious free time cleaning when you could be out on the course? Your wife cleans, you say? Well, what better way to make her more agreeable to that Sunday round than freeing her from strenuous household duties by hiring Oahu's premium, reliable, and diligent house cleaners? Contact us now at 808-633-6327 or theirishwasherwoman.com.
Four!
Feet up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it! Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, ronsyrak.com. You can find him there, and he writes beautifully. The address again, the website is Ron Cyrak, S-I-R-A-K, ronsyrak.com. Senior Writer, Golf Digest. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thanks. Have me on, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
You know, you got to be. I know you're playing golf. Were you playing golf today? Did you play?
We actually got rained out this morning here in Massachusetts. So oh. I've been watching a lot of Ryder Cup.
So you're watching Ryder Cup. Okay. That I wasn't sure how much we could go into what's been happening this mm-hmm. morning and yesterday. This just give me your impressions from what you've seen so far these last day and a half.
Well, the U.S. got off to the start that they needed, you know, by going 4-0 in that first session. But, boy, that seems like that happened about 3 years ago now. Europe's come back enormously. And the match in the morning session, Sergio Garcia and Cabrera Bello coming back and having a match that they were four down with six holes to play on was huge.
Huge.
And that was just a massive momentum swing. What fascinates me about this particular Ryder Cup is we're really seeing for both teams a changing of the guard. You know, Tiger's there, but he's there as a vice captain, and some of the guys who have been, you know, Lee Westwood is there for Europe, but he's not the same guy that he was. And we're seeing there's six rookies on the European side, and there's a bunch of young guys, Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed, are really showing themselves as the next generation of leaders for the American side.
Yeah, and Phil Mickelson, he's, you know, on his way to captain and no longer, I mean, it's surprising that he's even in the Ryder Cup, given that he hasn't really performed over the last year. You know, when did Phil actually win last? But he's one of those guys who's consistent, and yet I was watching and I thought, that's interesting. They put Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler together. Phil Mickelson usually can't go straight off the tee, or he's off into someplace, and Ricky hasn't been exactly consistent on the greens. You know, did you wonder about that pairing?
Well, they are constant gambling partners in the practice rounds of PGA Tour events.
Uh-huh.
So Phil wanted that pairing. Phil wanted to be with Ricky. But they've picked up a few bucks in their day on those Tuesday Wednesday practice rounds.
That's it. Now tell us, how much of the captain of this Ryder Cup team, this U.S. team, is Phil Mickelson?
Well, I think that part of what Davis Love is doing is getting input from lots of people. So I mean he's got like a gazillion vice captains. You know, I think that Bubba Watson was like the fifth one of those. So he's got Furyk and Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker and Bubba. And I think Phil's probably giving input too, and I think that's part of what he wanted to do, is to have everybody feel invested in the process and thinking that he might get them more focused that way.
So they get the task force idea was to get everybody, their voices heard, rather than Captain Trickle Down and being in charge.
Yeah, you know, and part of what the task force was doing was trying to get past captains involved. And get them into the process too, and sort of making everybody feel invested in the Ryder Cup. Look, Colin Montgomery is probably the first person to get him win any major championships, but he was such a great Ryder Cup player and such a great player in Europe that the Ryder Cup on the European side is truly their fifth major. You know, they play for it with an intensity that is. That's uncommon, and I think that the United States side is trying to create that sort of same feeling.
Is this Ryder Cup more contentious from your experience than years past?
Well, so far it looks like, in terms of the gallery, it is. You know, I've heard some behavior from the gallery that you don't really that I haven't really seen before. You know, it's fine to root for your team. But it's sort of unusual in golf to cheer bad shots by the other team.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of that going on. And what we're seeing is some of the European players, McIlroy and Sergio Garcia most notably, have responded to it. And when they make big shots, they sort of turn and go right back at the gallery. and Patrick Reed certainly brings a ton of intensity for the American side. So we are seeing a little bit of different behavior out there. I think it's a lot being motivated by the galleries, but the players are also reacting to it in a sort of different way than we're used to seeing.
I just see McIlroy charged up like I haven't seen him before. He's so animated. He's so into. First you get the stony face, and then you kind of get this cheering down on his knees, kind of, yes. And I think the gallery is giving him fuel, that, and he's taking that negativity and churning it out in a positive sort of way.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's had it hasn't been his greatest year. He won the FedEx Cup, but was shut out in the major championships and had a really sort of erratic year. And I think that right now he's at the peak of his motivation, and it's because of the Ryder Cup. And for Sergio, you know, for the fans to sing to him, "You haven't won any majors," is probably not a great idea to do to Sergio, because that's just going to get him even more motivated. He's going to be another guy who's going to follow in like Colin and probably make it into the World Golf Hall of Fame without winning a major championship. And his stellar record in the Ryder Cup will be a big part of his legacy.
You know what, Ron Cyrak, you can find him at roncyrak.com. He's senior writer for Golf Digest. He's covered many, 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 many Ryder Cups and, of course, major championships. What he just said, they shouldn't be saying, "Sergio, you've never won a major." It's those kind of slams that I find so offensive this year. It just seems like making it personal is... It's just ugly, and I That's the part. When you said that, it was like, yes, it's those kinds of comments. And far worse, Danny Willett taking a lot from what his brother wrote,
right,
which was shocking in and of itself. But then for Danny to have to step into the arena, it's like gladiators, you know, they're going in and they've got all these people with the thumbs up, thumbs down, ready to take them apart.
You know, I always hoped that golf could bring to other sports its sense of behavior, and sadly, sometimes I feel like we're going the other direction, where golf is following the behavior of the other sports instead of the other sports becoming more respectful of their competitors, their opposition, the way golf is. You sort of feel like golf is going towards that trash talking kind of thing, and I think that sort of loses the essence of sports. You know, on a week where, you know, the week after Arnold Palmer died, Arnold was the person more than as anybody who ever played the game. If you beat him, he took off his hat, he shook your hand, he looked you in the eye and said, well done. And I feel sometimes like we're drifting away from that sort of civility in the game.
Absolutely. I definitely want to talk with you more about Arnold Palmer passing on Sunday. But I need to ask you, what is it about Ryder Cup that brings out in Sergio Garcia, in Patrick Reed, a performer, and I mean like being able to sink a putt without questions, like you can count on it. It's going to go in. It is going to happen. Sergio is in one of those moments. Patrick Reed is in one of those moments. You can bet on it. What is it that brings it out in them, and why can't they bring that to a major championship?
I think that there's two reasons, and one's a team play aspect of it, and that raises a level of motivation there. But I think the other thing, the biggest thing, is match play. You know, in match play, you essentially don't have to worry about the 4-foot putt coming back. You know, you've got the putt that you have, and usually, if you missed it, you pick the ball up and walk on to the next hole. And it's part of what's exciting about watching the Ryder Cup too. Because of match play, you see people taking way more risks and taking gamble shots, because you're not worried about making a triple bogey. All you're going to do is lose one hole. And I think in the case of, and look on the European side, Colin Montgomery, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, they want to combine 0 majors, but they make huge putts in the Ryder Cup. And I think it's because it's match play. And you can putt aggressively and not worry about the next putt.
And are we seeing in the Sergio Garcia, Rafa Cabrera Bello team, the Seve Ballesteros, Jose Maria Olazabal grouping again, sort of coming to fore as the Spaniards?
It could very well be. They certainly look very, very comfortable out there together, and they did some amazing things. Cabrera Bello making the putt from off the fringe late in the match was today on 17th hole was huge, huge, huge. They got everything back to all square there. And those are the kind of shots, if you looked at Seve, you look at Olazabal, and you look at Sergio, they can hit, they can make up and downs from the porta potties out there. You know, they can just, no matter what place you put their golf ball, they can figure out a way to get it on the green and get it in the hole. And it looks like with Cabrera Bello, we got somebody else like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Really is. We're going to go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and the Steelers and wide receiver Antonio Brown. And he's got a pair of cleats that he's going to wear Sunday night. And at least he hopes it'll be legal to wear it in the game. But they bear the king on them. Did you see a picture of those?
I did, and you know the NFL in their infinite wisdom will probably fine Antonio for wearing those shoes. But I have a feeling it's a fine that Antonio will be more than happy to pay. And you know, it gives you a little indication of the impact that Arnold had on that part of the country that he's from, Western Pennsylvania. But overall, on just, you know, the overall game of golf and the global growth of the game. But the fact that he made that sort of connection with Antonio, and you know, that's what was special about Arnold too. Antonio Brown's probably met Arnold one time, and Arnold makes you feel like he's known you his entire life when he meets you one time.
He does. When I met him a couple of times at Turtle Bay and at Ka'anapali, and there was a sense about him that he would spend the day with you. You know, he was on his way getting coffee for, he had just gotten married to Kit. Course, his first wife died of cancer when he was 70, so he remarried. And he was going from his cottage at Turtle Bay to get coffee. He was walking, and I was standing there with some people and knew him from the media, you know, and he stopped and talked. And we chatted, and it seemed like at least, I don't know, 15 minutes, probably was five, but I was standing with Arnold Palmer and he was spending time and there was a twinkle in his eye. And people say that all the time, right? There's a twinkle in his eye, and it is it. And it seems like it just sort of makes you feel glowy, you know, and that's not just a little girl that's 9 years old. And Arnold Palmer is my hero. It's he envelops you in that twinkle. And then at some point he goes, well, you know, my bride is waiting for her coffee. Oh, yes, of course. We should probably let you go.
But that's a couple of years ago, Golf World magazine used to do a thing called Words from the Wise. We'd interview six or eight people every year who were over the age of 65, and we'd get them to talk about what golf's meant to them and what they've learned from golf and what advice they have. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Arnold for that, and he was at his house in near Palm Springs at La Quinta. And so we set up a time. I'm going to be there at 9 in the morning. So I go up, I knock on the door at 9 in the morning, and Arnold answers the door, and he's wearing sweatpants and a T-shirt. And I come in, and he says, you want a cup of coffee? I said, yeah, sure. So I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking to myself, holy moly, Arnold Palmer's pouring me a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just who he was. And then we just sat down and talked. And when we finished the interview, we talked for a long time. And we got done. As I'm leaving, he said, do you need anything? Do you have a car? Do you need a ride someplace? What can I do for you? And I said, no, I got my rental car. I'll be fine. And that's, but he's was always thinking about the other person. There was an innate intuitive kindness in him that is just special.
Yes, and it is to the point where if he you needed a flight, you need to I'll fly you there. You know, my plane's parked right over here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how he was. It was special, and I wasn't there. I'm not close enough to the world that you have access to. Ron Syrak, a senior writer of Golf Digest, his ashes were spread. But before his ashes were spread, I believe it was this week is a blur. Was it on Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Did they take him for a final ride in his plane?
You know, that I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I know that he wanted his ashes spread at Latrobe Country Club, and that's where they did it, and remarkably, right after they did it, a magnificent rainbow came out over the golf course. I'm heading to Latrobe to be on Tuesday. There's a memorial service for him at the church in Latrobe, and I'm gonna go out for that. It's I grew up about 60 miles away from Latrobe, and Arnold was I was 5 years old when he won his first PGA Tour event, so I sort of grew up in the right in the wheelhouse of the Arnold Palmer era, and he was a huge influence on me, and there's no way that I would not be at that memorial service on Tuesday.
Fantastic. Ron Syrak, will you be writing about it, and we'll be able to read it at ronsyrak.com?
I would imagine that I will write something about it. We also have, it's coming out next week, Golf Digest, we started preparing, when I came back from the Masters, was a general feeling, I mean, that not only was Arnold not able to hit the ceremonial opening tee shot, he wasn't able to get out of his chair on the first tee, and so we all had a bad feeling about what was going on, so we prepared a special 100-page section on Arnold that's going to be out next week. I think the iPad version will be available on Tuesday, and then the print version will be hitting the newsstands. And I had the honor of writing the closing essay for that issue, and it's got some wonderful photos showing his the whole scope of his career, But I was very honored that that they asked me to write, knowing that I'm from his part of the country and the influence that he had on me, that I wrote the closing essay on sort of what it was like growing up in the Arnold era in Arnold country.
And Arnold Palmer started so many wonderful projects, the hospitals that he has supported. And I think ArnoldArmy.org is continuing online to continue his legacy. So this is a big part of what he wanted done.
The Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital, well, it's the Winnie Palmer Children's Hospital at in Orlando. When Annika's second child, Will, was born, he was born many weeks premature, and it was a very, very touchy situation. And one of my prized possessions is a photo that I have of Annika holding little Will with her husband Mike beside her and Arnold standing with them. And you know, it was, and they will tell you that that hospital has done just amazing work for pediatric medicine.
Fantastic. Ron Syrek, we look forward to reading you in Golf Digest, coming out the iPad version on Tuesday, and then print in your mailbox. And if you don't subscribe, do. You'll also find Ron Syrek at ronsyrek.com. Thanks so much for being on the show, Ron.
Thanks so much, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. I want to leave you on a little bit of a lighter note. It was about the heckler that... It was North Dakota fan named David Johnson. He was heckling Henrik Stenson. A Team Europe couldn't sink a putt in this practice. And so Stenson pulled the heckler out. Justin Rose sweetened the deal, said, sink the putt, and you'll get $100 in addition to, of course, you know, being able to be awfully proud of yourself. Johnson sank the 10-footer, and McIlroy hugged him. Afterward, Johnson said, okay, it's not like he had all of his wits together, okay? He said, I closed my eyes, I swallowed my puke, and hit the putt that happened to go in, so that was cool. And he did it in blue jeans. So that's amazing, right? I mean, who would have thunk it that we can actually play golf and sink a putt in jeans? I want to thank the people who make the golf club possible. First off, Raynor Doors, the overhead door that's used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. They provide lasting security and safety, not just for businesses, for your home. You need to check out Raynor Doors. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach. By the way, Ron Syrek wrote the Vision 54 Trilogy books with Pia and Lynn. So check out Claude Brousseau, Aimpoint certified as well, Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. Just tee it forward. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, where they aerated on Monday, so they're giving you $30 off the rate today. And they have a tee time at 10:10. And they have all new selection, the 50% off rack. Okay, complete new selection, 50% off men's and women's tops and bottoms. And if you're looking for a good idea for, oh, I don't know, the holidays, it's October. There's Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then, oh my goodness, yes. Okay, gift cards. Gift cards are the perfect gift for your golfer. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 910 and a 1020. Olomana has a 1023. And the Alpha Electric going out today over on Maui at Wailea, there's a 1230 open on the gold course. They're going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Thank you to Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, you need to call Creative Plumbing. Whether it's a brand new installation, or you're doing a renovation of something very delicate, or if you're just doing a renovation of something that's, you know, commercial and big and lots of pipes underground and you got to go digging for it, they can do all of that. That's Creative Plumbing. You got to call them because it's got to be done right. And Creative Plumbing will do that for you. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. Environmentally friendly as well. Ask them about their pavers. They have a mesh underneath that'll protect the environment so that none of the pollutants from above go down to the water below. Thank you for your mana. You can find us at radiogolfclub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.